Children can understand it's Shabbos today. From maybe 4 years old, some kids a little earlier, 3 years old. They can understand Shabbos, we don't turn on lights. They can understand it's Shabbos, we don't play with toys that make noise. They can understand that. They don't have to understand that they're not supposed to build with Lego at age 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. At age around 6, 7, they can understand they're not supposed to build an ohel. So you can teach them. You're not supposed to build a house with a roof that you put a car into. Okay? You're not supposed to build a tent on Shabbos. But the rest of Lego, play with. They reach about age 9. So at that point, you can start teaching them, you know, we don't build on Shabbos. And somewhere between 9 and 11, 12, depending on the child's maturity and how important playing with Lego is to them, you can familiarize them with the concept that they're not supposed to build with Lego on Shabbos. Now, I want to go back a step to a concept that Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote about in Chinuch. Chinuch breaks down into two mitzvot, the mitzvah d'oraita and the mitzvah d'rabbanan. The mitzvah d'oraita is our biblical mitzvah. We have Kohanim here, the wives of Kohanim here. Yeah, one. Okay, so you have a mitzvah, your child shouldn't go into a cemetery. That's from the minute he's born. Meaning, we have rare mitzvot in chinuch, that from the minute a child is born, you're obligated as a parent. A kohen, your male children cannot go into a cemetery. They can't go into a place where there's a deceased person. But other than that, we have two more mitzvot that are relevant, that have nothing to do with understanding, and that is eating kosher and Shabbos. When it comes to eating kosher, even when a child doesn't understand, you're responsible to make sure they eat kosher. And when it comes to Shabbos, there's a mitzvah bincha, right? The Torah says, ata u bincha. So there's a special mitzvah d'oraisa about educating our kids about Shabbos, that they should keep Shabbos. And that deserves a separate class. Every other area of chinuch really breaks down into two concepts of chinuch. One is the d'oraita. The d'oraita is the child knows that when they'll be an adult and they'll be bar mitzvah, they have to keep this mitzvah. That's the d'oraita of chinuch. The next is the d'rabbanan. What's the d'rabbanan? Practice. You're practicing now, so a child shakes a lulav. When does the d'rabbanan begin? When a child's capable of doing it on their own. So when a child could leave his ima and walk alone with his abba, he should be ole regel. When a child could keep his clothes clean, he should wear tzitzis. When a child can hold and shake a lulav and esrog without destroying it and beating up the people around them, they should start shaking lulav and esrog. The concept of chinuch, the drabbanan concept of chinuch is dependent on when a child can do it on their own. So chinuch for toys, Rav Shlomo Zalman said the following basic concept. Sometimes you have a kid that if you're going to get them used to coming to shul and shabbos, they're going to hate shul. And they're not going to go. And then, when they'll be an adult, they won't agree to go. So you say, even though he's at an age where he could, but I have to prefer the doraita, that when he'll be an adult, he will, to the drabbanan. Right? The drabbanan is practice. When he's old enough to practice, he should start practicing. But if by making him practice now, when he becomes an adult, he won't want it, so then the doraisa wins, which means don't make him practice now. We have another concept in chinuch. We don't educate children to things that are hurtful, painful, difficult for them. And that means children are allowed to eat before Havdalah. Children are allowed to eat before Kiddush. When your kid is 12, he can still eat before Havdalah and Kiddush. No problem. Ein chinuch be'inui. We don't teach a child. Chinuch is not about suffering. So things that are difficult to a child, they don't have to do. It's not a leniency. It's mutter. There's no chinuch there. They'll become bar mitzvahs. But keep the doraisa. Tell them, hey, when you'll be an adult, when you'll have be bar mitzvah, then you won't be able to eat before Havdalah. Right now, enjoy. That means the Shabbos before his bar mitzvah. If he's a kid that wants to eat before Havdalah, enjoy. Just remember that next week, you're not supposed to do that. It's an approach, but it's an important approach. I'm teaching the kid, when you'll be bar mitzvah, you're responsible for this. I'm not fighting with him to the point where it will destroy. So, playing with Lego. Most kids, if you tell them at 8 or 9, no playing with Lego on Shabbos. You're running up a creek It's hard for the kid. The kid wants to play with Lego on Shabbos. Ah, when they become 9, 10, 11, they start connecting to the concept. It's Shabbos, I really shouldn't do this, and they're going to be okay with it. Okay, when they're okay with it, and they understand it, and they understand that it's building. Again, the age is somewhere between 8, 9 to about 11, 12, depending on the kid. But before that, there's no problem, and let them play, and it's not muktzah for you to touch the Lego. You can't build with him, but it's not muktzah for you. If you have to clean up the Lego, you can. How long to wait between meat and milk, we discussed, or no? No. Okay, so again, it depends on the age of the kid. When a child is 1 and 2, we're not talking about anything, there's no chinuch yet. So you just don't feed him a cheeseburger, right? You're not feeding them meat mixed with milk. But once a child becomes maybe 4, so you start telling them we have to wait between meat and milk. And waiting for them means not eating it at the same meal. That means that if you finish the meal, and 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, they want to eat something else, that's not a problem yet. Then the child grows older, and they start understanding time, and they start understanding meat and milk. So then you start having them wait. How much depends on the kid. Ideally, the child has to be at an age where they understand something. They understand time, they understand meat, they understand milk. Again, I'm not feeding them meat and milk together. Our conversation is about how long do we wait and at what age are we going to wait. So until the child reaches an age of chinuch, until they start understanding, there's no point in waiting more than a minute or two, not eating it at the same meal. Your child is age 6, 7, 8, depending on the kid. They start understanding, so then you start having them wait. And they don't have to wait 6 hours. We're not talking about 6 hours, we're talking about waiting. For a child, there's no difference between 6 hours and 1 hour. Your child's already 7, 8, 9. They start understanding the difference between an hour and 2 hours and 3 hours and 6 hours. That's where we start talking about waiting whatever amount of time you wait. But not before that. Meaning until you reach an age where they start understanding time, you're not really dealing with any of this. This is not... For them, waiting 20 minutes is also waiting. So, again, until you reach 5, so it's just not, don't feed them together. We wait a drop. Once you reach 5, so you wait a little bit, so they understand you're waiting. You have to reach a much older age till you're going to wait that whatever amount of time you wait. And even then, if you feel that your child needs it earlier, so then you go to the baseline, just like a pregnant woman who's having a heartburn. She doesn't have to wait more than an hour. A person that's suffering from the pause between meat and milk, so they wait 1 hour. The idea of waiting 3 or 6 hours is when everything's normal and okay. The idea of waiting 1 hour is drabanan. We don't forego that unless it's pretty serious. But beyond that, so even if a person says, I have heartburn, I'm having a hard time, I need the milk right now. Okay, wait 1 hour, after 1 hour. So the same thing with a kid. When we speak about a child waiting more, that's assuming that it fits with his diet, that fits with whatever his needs are. Yes.
Do you have to halakhically give like a drink or a crack or like something to separate them having the...
At what age?
Whatever age. Like if they just ate meat and they want them to have cereal, should you give them something to clean out their mouth? Obviously not a baby, but...
I want to check. I don't know. Yeah, if you could email me, SMS me, let me check.
How could it be a bad habit, though? Meaning, like, I guess you're asking halakha. I would just think, like, it's not a bad habit to do. Tell them to take a drink of water between.
Yeah, but she wants to know what she has to do.
No, I understand. I'm saying she's asking halakhically, but right. It's always a bad habit.
Who has to drink more when they come in for my car?
Take a sip of water.
Right. I would love it if I could get away with that. But I need to give her an answer of what's mutar nasur. Child has a sensitive nature and is more prone to getting bullied in school. How do we help a child not feel like a victim? How do you instill in them self-confidence and self-worth? Okay, so... A lot of that I was trying to address in the things we were discussing. So let's take, a few examples. You have a child that whenever someone else asks them for a toy, they give it. Even if they don't want to, they don't know how to say no. And that's form, you can say they're getting bullied. They're not really getting bullied, they just don't know how to express what they want. So there are a few paths you could take. It depends on the nature of the child. It depends also on the age of the child. One thing, there was a kid who the school brought an Olympic athlete to talk to the kids, and all the kids are standing there looking at him, and they're all in awe. And this kid, who's a half a genius, this kid, when the person finishes their whole, I don't remember what they were talking about, their whole speech, their whole presentation, so the kid says, the kid knew from the speech that he only won a silver medal. So the kid says, so what medal did you get? Now we're talking about a 5 or 6 year old kid. So the athlete goes, silver. So he says, I'm not impressed. In front of all the other kids. And the parents saw that this kid was like cat and mouth. And again, from a 5 or 6 year old kid, what do you do? So they went to the school psychologist and they asked her, what are we supposed to do? And the school psychologist said to them, why don't you ask the boy, how do you think that person felt when you said it? Ask him two questions. Ask him, why did you say that? Meaning, sometimes it's good to ask the child, why did you do that? Because it forces the child sometimes doesn't ask themselves that question. By us asking that question, so you're making the child actually think about what just transpired. Otherwise, they're just doing it. So, and then ask the child, how do you think the other person felt when you did that? Now, let's take our scenario. You have a child. Every time someone asks them for something in the playground or in school, they give it. Or if they don't give it, another person is more insistent, then they give it. And then they're upset. So you ask the child, why did you give it? Begin by asking the question, because it forces the child to face themselves. Like, why did I? It forces them to ask the question. Now you have to ask this not in a mean way. Not like you've done this, why'd you do that? But rather as a fair question, like as a real question, why did you do that? That will help the child take the first step necessary to change a habit. The first step is to ask that question. Very often in all of our own lives, we know we want a different outcome, but we don't know how to get there. Ask a person who's always oversleeping. Why do you oversleep? And they'll tell you, I don't have a good enough alarm clock. That's the reason you're oversleeping? Maybe you're not getting to bed on time. Why aren't you getting to bed on time? Maybe you should shut the computer at a certain hour. Maybe you should stop talking at a certain hour. Maybe you shouldn't call your parents at whatever hour of the night you call them. But look at what the cause is, not the result. Most people don't know how to do that. So that question is a very important question. When you ask them, why did you do that? Because you're forcing them, in a very non-threatening way, to analyze and take a step back. Why did I do that? And force them to see that, again, in a gentle way. The next question is to find a way to discuss with them what they would want, what outcome would they want? What would you want to be? Very often, children, first of all, children see everything as black and white. That's the way children see life. There's no gray for kids. There's black or white. There's mutar, there's asur. You can't expect kids to see differently until much later age, like maybe 18. Kids see things as black and white. Imagine, when I said 18, I wasn't joking. Till a very, very late age, children have a very hard time with the idea that it's either people are wicked or they're good. They have a hard time seeing that no, they're a good person who did something wrong. So the same thing with the kid. The kid very often sees one of two options. Either I have the toy or they have the toy. Either I give it to them or they get upset at me. We have to help the child see that there's compromise. There are other options. And then we start discussing what would be possible outcomes. Like the idea of telling the other boy, I'll give it to you in 10 seconds. We once had a couple that everything that went on in the house, she would tell her parents. So he couldn't connect his wife because he knew every sentence he said, a minute later she was SMSing her parents. So I said the first step, if they want to create Shalom Bayis, is that she promised him that she waits 1 hour before she tells her parents everything that goes on in the house. Why? Because once you've accomplished 1 hour, it means you've accomplished control. You've taken the first necessary step. You've shown that you're not just going to fall into that habit. You have control. And that's a rule. In general, when you want to conquer a habit, don't try to conquer it all at once. First establish I'm in control. That means if I find that I'm always eating every morsel of ice cream that's in the house, so then I'm going to tell myself I'm going to still eat every morsel of ice cream that's in the house, but I will wait 1 hour from the minute I want to, or I'll wait 5 minutes, whatever it is, but I'm in control. When we accomplish control in small areas, then we could develop it into bigger areas. We have to first establish that we're in control. More often than not, we're not. And the same thing is happening with the child that's getting bullied. They see one of two options. Either enter a conflict which they feel is beyond their ability, or give in. And we have to introduce them to the idea of, no, you can control the situation and have a different outcome. And this goes back to what we were discussing about stories and telling the child stories with different outcomes. And through those stories, we can really help the child develop the skills. And with this, we'll have to pause because we're out of time. If there's a question or two, we can do that. And then I know there were many more questions. I know I didn't get to a lot of people's questions. If you want that next time we spend most of the time on the questions, we can do that. You'll let me know. Maybe let me know now so I know how much to prepare. Do we want to spend our next meeting primarily on questions? I'll tell you what the questions are. This one we didn't finish with. How to develop self-worth and self-esteem in a child, that has to be discussed. How do I raise children to be from Yirat Shamayim when my neighbor's kids aren't as religious as we are? How do you encourage your child to help get the house ready for Shabbos? I think we dealt with a lot of that today. When having other children over, what should we expect from our kids when it comes to sharing their toys? What's the right approach to solve fighting with other children, not siblings? Should a mother still try to daven when her kids are around if she knows she will be disturbed? Is it better chinuch to spend the time with her kids or to let them see her daven? So those are the questions I see right now that we haven't yet dealt with. So I'm for continuing the same route, 50-50. Do people prefer we begin with the questions and then see how much time we have left for other things? I don't know how to interpret silence. I'm not very bad at this. I don't know. Okay. So if people want, my email is available. I'm saying kind of. And you could send a message by SMS or WhatsApp. And bintang, we concluded. One thing we did conclude is that the next meeting will take place, Bezat Shem, on the Tuesday before Rosh Hashanah, not the week of Rosh Hashanah. The Tuesday before Rosh Hashanah. I think Mrs. Hornstein was open to having it by her.
I'm happy to have you here.
Toda rabba. So say that. Yeshakach. Well, Yeshakach. Everyone.